Assembly meeting of February 17th. Madam Clerk, the roll.
Jim Sykes.
Here.
Matthew Beck.
Here.
Ronald Arvin.
Here.
I'm expecting Steve Culligan, Dan Mayfield.
Here.
Barbara Doty.
Here.
Vern Halter.
Here.
Mr. Mayor, you do have a quorum.
Okay, we have the agenda before us. Any additions, subtractions? Any objections? Hearing none, that will be the orders of the evening. And we're going to rise and let our new assembly person, Assembly Member Doty, lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So we have four sets of minutes. Special Assembly meeting of January 29th, regular Assembly meeting February 3rd, special meeting February 5th, and special meeting February 5th. We had two special meetings?
Yes, we did, sir.
Okay. I see no comments, so they will stand as submitted. Time for reports from the cities. Do we have any cities? Probably everybody's in Juneau. I don't see any cities, school district. Don't know what their excuse is. Committee reports. We haven't had a joint school board meeting. There hasn't been a transportation meeting. Assembly PR. Mr. Manager, it's your turn. And instead of Mr. Manager, it's Mr. Assistant Manager, Mr. Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First item up, we'd like Dennis Brodigan, the Emergency Services Director, to come forward and talk about homeowners insurance premium reductions and ISO ratings. Dennis?
Thank you. To the Mayor and Assembly, I want to talk to you tonight about ISO fire classification and its impact on homeowners insurance, and use Westlake's fire service area as the prime example. As you may know, they just decreased their ISO rating from a 5 to a 4, which is a good thing going down in numbers, and effective February 1st. So I put together a brief slide presentation to kind of explain to you the impact that it's had. And this is all thanks to Chief Bill Gamble and his staff have worked very, very hard and long hours and for years, as well as had the great support of the Westlake's Fire Service Area Board of Supervisors to accomplish going from an 8B to ultimately a 4. So I was told if I point this at Lonnie, yeah. So what you see is a graph of nationwide fire services. There's close to 50,000 fire services across America that have received a fire classification rating from the Insurance Services Office, or ISO. And with that, we're going to talk about the Westlake's fire service area, and the arrow that's pointing, that green arrow, it's pointing down at an 8B. So there's 10 ratings, 1 through 10, with a special rating called an 8B. It's kind of a special rural designator for fire service areas, and most of ours in Alaska are designated at that. But at any rate, as you can see, that represents the 71st percentile of fire services in the United States. What they've been able to accomplish is go to a 4, from an 8B to a 4, which is very significant. They're now in the top 17% of fire service area fire departments across the United States. So went from the bottom 30 to better than the top 20 Now, it's taken us about 10 years to get there. A lot had to happen and had to get a lot of support from this body and from the Fire Service Area Board. Through Bill's leadership and the staff, we've accomplished it and hope to, you know, increase the ISO rating even more in years to come. So how does that equate to homeowners insurance? You have a couple of handouts that the clerk has passed out to you, one of this presentation, but another is an overview of the benefits of a good ISO rating, benefits to the fire service area as well as to the community. One of those, and the one that actually has a return on investment, is that those that have homeowners insurance can realize a reduction in their annual premiums of their homeowners insurance based on that ISO rating. Now, not all the insurance companies use it strictly as their guide. Some use it solely as their guide. There's other factors in homeowners insurance in terms of the rate, you know, how old the building is, where it's located, et cetera, et cetera. So it's kind of a moving target as to who and how much somebody will get when the ISO rating gets improved. But as a general rule, the entire community benefits from a better ISO rating. Number one, most and foremost, is it is a true indicator of the quality of fire protection services that they're getting. And secondly, it can have a significant impact on their homeowners insurance. So the Westlakes Fire Service Area has a little bit over $1 billion in property valuation, and that is improved property. It's not empty parcels. This information comes from the assessor's office and is very fresh. So the number of improved properties that make up that $1 billion is 5,954, with an average value of about $170,000. And the average annual FSA taxes that are paid by a person that owns $170,000 worth of property is about $302 a year. So in May of 2011, we went from an 8B to a 5. We're re-audited again 5 years later late 2014, and went from a 5 down to a 4. The first savings, and these are very conservative, and these are just simply estimates. The only way, the insurance companies don't give us this information, it's proprietary. So we came to these numbers based on the many phone calls that Westlakes received in terms of homeowners who experienced a reduction in their insurance rates. And it's pretty typical. We had the same thing happen in Wasilla Lakes Fire Service Area back in 2004, 2005 when they went down to a 4. We had the same experience in Butte when they went down to a 5. So in the first, a very low estimate of what each homeowner got was about $250 reduction of their homeowner's insurance on an annual basis. And then with this latest, it wasn't such a big jump. It was 5 down to 4. And for, again, this model of $170,000 of appraised value, about $40 a year. So total savings to these folks is $290,000 a year, and not just this year, but year after year after year, and they're only paying $302 a year on fire service area taxes. So I don't know of any other service area that the borough has that actually can return money back to their constituents or to the people within their tax district to the degree and extent that an ISO rating can do. We're not just doing it for the dollar, we're doing it because, again, it is, the fire services is much improved, much better quality, and much more dependable, and this independent rating agency understands that. These are estimates, but if of the 5,954 improved pieces of property in Westlakes, if 100% of them were insured, In a year, a $250 savings, we're looking at almost $4.5 million worth of community money returned back to the community because of the ISO rating. So that's basically what I was asked to do, is just to give you the financial impact of the ISO rate. I am prepared to talk in more detail about ISO if you would like more information. If not, it's in a handout that you have, and you can read through it. I'll do whatever you'd like to do.
Well, thank you. That's good news.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, the next item we have is Information Technology Director Eric Wyatt will come forward and talk about the improvements we've made to the borough's website, a couple of glitches along the way, and the status of those. Eric?
Mr. Mayor, Assembly, thank you, George. Yes, I'd like to give you a quick update on the website. Have you all been briefed on why we did the website? I don't know if you have been, but excuse me, sir? Because, well, that was earlier on. No, that was not the the reason that we started this one. No, but I'll give you a quick overview of why the website was redesigned and what the intent was, and then I'll give you a quick status on where we're at. So first of all, the website that we were using was built on 2005 and 2007 technology, so 8 and 10 year old technology and techniques and whatnot. It badly needed an update. We also wanted to change the content to show more of why the borough is a great place to live, and try to have more of a magazine type of a content, so it was more interesting, and it showed people why the borough is a great place. As opposed to a lot of government websites, which simply give information, which is what we had. It gave good information, but it wasn't necessarily a place that was drawing people into the community. So that was the idea behind changing the website. Some of the decisions that were made to undertake the website change were that we were going to do it all in-house, as opposed to going outside and contracting this. And this was done for a couple of reasons. One was funding, and another one was when we contract out these kinds of things, it can take a lot longer. So we set kind of an aggressive schedule on getting this done. So instead of taking as much as a year and a half, we got this done in just over 4 months, and with in-house resources. We have one full-time web designer and one part-time, and a couple of other programmers that helped out on this effort. So we got to looking at the website usage of the old website, and we found that we've got about 22,000 documents that are available on the website and about 2,500 pages. Of all of that content, 95% of the hits on the website only go to 200 pages. So the decision was made that we would concentrate on those 200 pages. We also added a few other pages that aren't high hit contents, but are necessary pages that need to be available all the time. For instance, the assembly packages, like we're looking at tonight, are not necessarily high hit pages, but they're obviously very necessary. So the high hit pages and the necessary pages were what was focused on. As part of that, we're looking at literally thousands of pages that were not necessarily viewed very often. In fact, they might not have been viewed for a couple of years. So a lot of that stuff was not transitioned right away, with the thinking that if it becomes important, people will ask for it to be put back. And if it's not important, maybe we need to stop dragging this stuff along with us. So that was the thought going into putting the website together. So through a great deal of hard effort on my team's part and our public affairs, put together a great deal of new content, we got the website up and running. So that was turned on last week, and we did have an initial glitch. We found that our test environment didn't exactly mirror our test or our production environment, so when we got a little heavier load on the server, we had a few glitches. That was the biggest problem that we have, and that was rectified fairly quickly. In fact, the next morning by about 9 a.m. Since then, we have had 87 work orders put in or problems that have been found, and so far we're through 32 of them, so we're a little over a third of the way. So we're looking at probably another couple of weeks to fix those last problems. So we do have a few outstanding items that we want to work on and clean up on the website. And so we might ask, why did we go live with those few items that need to get cleaned up? Well, the old site had issues too, and we kind of got to that point where we realized that fixing and updating the new site was going to be easier than continuing to drag along the old site. So I made the decision that we would be ready, and let's go ahead and pull the trigger, get on the new site, and it's going to be faster, quicker, and more productive to clean up the problems we have in the new site, even if it wasn't 100% ready. So that's where we stand today. And if you have any questions, I would like to answer them.
Assemblymember Sykes.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, by the way, we need to note for the record that Assemblymember Culligan arrived at 6:04. Sorry.
Through the mayor to Mr. Wyatt, thank you very much for the overview on this. I do have a few questions. First, a concern. I agree that low hits doesn't necessarily mean that it's not important. And we did have some discussion last year in the interest of transparency about making information available to the public in advance of meetings, not just the assembly meeting, but the planning commission and boards and commissions that also meet. That's probably not going to be high hit information, but I think it helps us in the transparency. So is that going to be a problem to, drag along as you suggested?
No, sir, not an issue to drag that along at all. As a matter of fact, part of our plan right now is we've got these tickets that we've put in about old links and whatnot that are not working. Immediately when Matt's done, we're going to go to work on new types of content. You and I have spoken before about transparency and things like putting budget information on the website, and that is on the list to go on there immediately. So even after we're done with this initial push, we're going to continue to improve, and we're going to continue to put that kind of information on there.
Okay, I did, by the way, it does look really good. However, for one who is just beginning to understand the old site, this has been a bit of a challenge for me. So I did want to ask you specifically if you do have a web diagram. I couldn't find a web diagram anywhere that is on a lot of websites. It kind of is a file type of plan where you can find something. I've had some difficulty finding stuff, so I'm sure it'll work itself out, but I just wondered if there was one.
No, we don't have that kind of a diagram that you're speaking of, and that's one of the improvements that we could certainly make.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I think it looks good. Like I said, I haven't quite found my way around it, but I'm working on it.
Also, as the decision to go live here, we realize that we've moved a lot of people's cheese, and so things are different on there, and we do anticipate a lot of additional calls asking where things are and some complaints just because things are new. So. Part of going live here was kind of ripping the Band-Aid off, getting all the pain done at once, and I think a month from now we'll find that we've learned how to navigate the website again, and it'll be much easier. So I do appreciate the fact that we have moved things, and it'll be a little difficult to find them again.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yeah, I have some similar concerns that Mr. Sykes raised, but I did want to applaud you for forging ahead and making some changes. I just hope we kind of resolve some of the issues soon. I did want to make a comment to a request to management and to the IT director. This weekend we have our off-site meeting where we talk about different issues, and for the last 3 years some management systems have been on our list. I would like to get a briefing, not a thesis, but just kind of an update on where we're at with business license and permitting and our time card HR system. I know we've made progress, and I just want to make sure that we have something in hand. Don't need, like you say, not a thesis, but if you wouldn't mind preparing so we have kind of that as an overview for this weekend, that'd be great.
Yes, sir. Can do.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Assemblymember Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, just along the same lines of what Assemblymember Culligan just said, kind of a little off the subject here, but kind of related. Will that meeting be broadcast on the 21st at all?
No, it won't. We're in, at Evangelos, but they don't have media plugins.
So our new site has a search feature, doesn't it?
It does. There is not a search field on the home page, but if you click down one level, then the search is on the top. And that has been identified as a deficiency on the main site. So
okay. Mm-hmm. Good. Good. Assemblymember Mayfield.
Yeah, based on the tickets that you have now, what's your ETA to finalize and to address those tickets?
Probably about 2 weeks. I've got the numbers of tickets. Some tickets take 10 minutes, some of them take hours. But based on the work thus far, we've tackled some of the more challenging things already and gotten those done. So I would say 2 weeks at the outside to get the rest of those tickets done. And again, as soon as we're done with those, then we'll go to work on additional enhancements to make the site better.
Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was on the site yesterday, and I applaud you. I think it looks fantastic. And, you know, before it was kind of a box and whiskers, pretty plain. It's jazzed up, and I think you did a really good job there. Similarly, I found that there are fewer clicks to get to some things that I have had interest to observe over time. And so I think you're doing a good job. And if you're going to get it done in a couple weeks and be all there, I think your department should be applauded for that. Thanks.
Thank you very much, and we'll pass that on to, this was the idea of our manager, John Moosey, so he deserves a lot of the credit, and of course our web designer, Jack Warner, so. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That's all I have, Mr. Mayor, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Attorney.
So I've been participating in a couple of different work groups regarding legalization of marijuana as it moves forward.
Pull your mic in towards you. Thank you.
I've been participating in a couple of different work groups pertaining to the legalization of marijuana as it starts to move forward. Right now, you can read the newspaper about the various municipalities. The ABC board was just talking about perhaps doing an emergency regulation next Tuesday defining what public is. And as part of these discussions, you know, various groups, there's an attorneys working group, there's been questions batted around through various legislators' offices in Juneau. But one of the issues that's come up is, in light of the fact that under the initiative that's passed, there's a 1 ounce limit on what you can buy and sell. But you can possess 6 plants in your home, and without limitation, you can possess all the marijuana that 6 plants grows. So that could exceed an ounce, and if you really wanted to stockpile, you could probably far exceed it. One of the issues that raises is, in this initiative, it made it, the language says it's not a civil or criminal offense to do, you know, possess, have, grow, transfer, consume. And then the final one is assisting another person 21 years age or older in any of these acts. And so the one issue that's come up is the definition of that word assist. And there's a definition floating around right now that says acting without benefit on behalf of no more than one other person as authorized in writing signed by that person. And we've been asked for input. That's a fairly large policy call that I wanted to bring to your attention. I don't know if you want to think about it. We could certainly talk about it at every meeting or tonight if you'd like to give me direction on how to weigh in on that. The other thing that's been going on is the Senate Judiciary has released a committee substitute for what's called Senate Bill 30. It's 91 pages long. I've gone through it. In large part, it's kind of cleanup. Everywhere in state law where it says drugs, alcohol and drugs, they're inserting the word marijuana in between because marijuana now will be legal to consume in most instances. There's things regarding DUI and other things of that nature. Some of the other outlines of Senate Bill 30 is, you know, registration has to be on your person and displayed at will, kind of like your insurance card if you're a transporter. So if you possess more than 1 ounce and you're kind of out with it, it's going to be the law, like, you know, you have to produce your insurance card if you get pulled over, or you're going to have to produce your registration card. The other thing it's doing is, if you're a processor or a transporting to and from a processor, it has to be a registered processor. They're doing little cleanups by tightening up the language to make sure that somebody can't just spring up in their, you know, kitchen and say, oh, I'm a processor. I'm carrying 4 pounds to my neighbor, and he's a processor, too. They have to be registered. And then another interesting part in this bill is on page 74, the bill specifically, they're proposing to amend Title 29. The authority to regulate marijuana is reserved to the state, and except as specifically provided by statute, a municipality may not enact or enforce an ordinance that is inconsistent with 1738, which is the initiative. That's interesting language, because the initiative itself says that we can regulate the time, place, and manner. It remains to be seen, then, if the ABC board turns around and regulates the manner, say, for example, it got to be closed on Tuesdays, and a particular municipality says, we don't care, you can be open on Tuesdays, the initiative purports to say that we can do it. So there may be a little bit going on there. I raise these issues because these are the types of things that are being discussed and kind of kicked around at the municipal lawyers level. And a lot of us in the group are kind of saying, wow, those are very interesting policy questions that I can't take a position on right now. So I wanted to raise this to you tonight because, as I said, you know, back in December when I first talked about this, these things are starting to move. I know we're forming a working group, but as it pertains to this definition of assist, I figured I'd raise it because it could start to drive other policy implications, and I didn't want to have it pass by without us at least considering the issue. It's the first kind of big one that's come up that looks like it might start moving in terms of municipal consensus. I don't know.
So why don't we make a note to ourselves under assembly comments to give our input on this instead of starting a long discussion right now? Did you have a question, Mr. Halter?
I was just going to have him read his. Is that your definition?
No, that's a definition that's been kind of floating around out there. I'm not exactly sure who wrote it. Various municipal attorneys have been commenting.
Could you just read it to me one more time, please?
Acting, so the definition of assist, acting without benefit on behalf of no more than one other person as authorized in writing, signed by that person.
Assemblymember Sykes.
Thank you for rereading that, Mr. Attorney. I guess I would just ask, can you, assisting without benefit to me means you're not paid. Is that essentially so? Or can you explain without benefit, and can you give me an example where somebody might want to assist more than one person?
Sure. Okay. Assisting more than one person. I'm running to the store. Who wants some? And five of my best friends raise their hand, and I go buy 5 ounces because I'm doing it on behalf of my friends, be they real or imaginary.
Gotta get that right.
And then assisting without benefit, I think the initiative used the word remuneration, which implies money. Benefit is any benefit. I'm gonna pay for your gas money. I'm gonna let you borrow my car. I'm gonna let you sleep on my couch. I'm gonna let you, you know, without benefit, you tend to think of, you know, gifts as not benefit. Without benefit is, I believe, intended to encompass more than just, well, you didn't get paid. Well, okay, but, you know, you had a trade for, I don't know, pizza, bag of Cheetos, something. That would be benefit. There would be a benefit to it. And this would require assistance without benefit, such as maybe a caregiver, provider. It looks like there's a carve out currently in Senate Bill, or the committee substitute for Senate Bill 30. There's a carve out for somebody who can prove they're a caregiver and has authority for caregiver for people with, you know, perhaps illnesses. Medical marijuana enters the picture. You know, it's all kind of tied together.
Thank you. And is that it?
I believe that's all I have. The last time I reported on the PERS litigation, you know, we're in federal court, The plaintiffs have removed for class action status. We're waiting on a ruling for that. And at the same time, we move for a summary judgment on a three-year statute of limitations. We're saying that a three-year statute of limitations applies. The plaintiffs say they can go back all time for any temporary employee who ever worked for the borough back to PERS inclusion in 1968. So we're waiting on rulings on those two issues. And when those two get resolved, it may start to, it will govern some big decisions to be made. So we may have an executive session here after we get those two rulings out to talk about strategies and coordination. Probably bring Tom Daniel out for that to talk. Just an FYI, that'll be coming in the next couple of months probably. So that's it.
Thank you. Assemblymember Sykes, your mic's open. Thank you. So, Madam Clerk, it's your time to shine.
The clerk's report is in your red folder, has the upcoming meeting schedule, and also attached to it are items for the 21st meeting. It's got the agenda, and also the last planning session we had was in late 2012 for the 2013 year. And then also attached to that is the assembly's legislative priorities. So Saturday, one of the first things that will happen is the manager will give a brief report and update on all the projects that the assembly had from 2013, and then the assembly can go from there to start creating their 2015 priorities.
Okay. Assemblymember Mayfield.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to make a motion that we hold a special session on March 17th at 4:30 p.m. for the purpose of allowing the petitioners of Big Lake Incorporation the opportunity to give us the facts about their incorporation effort. And I'd like to speak in favor of that. Amen.
Okay, motion's on the floor. Repeat it again.
Yeah, that we hold a special session on March 17th at 4:30 p.m. for the purpose of allowing the petitioners of Big Lake Incorporation an opportunity to give us the facts about their incorporation effort.
Thank you. You can go ahead.
Yeah. Basically, this meeting would give these folks an opportunity to address the critical information that the assembly will need to address their own to address a resolution that I intend to bring at a future date. In support of the incorporation effort. Just to give you a little bit of an update, their final report from the Local Boundary Commission is due out the 19th of this month, this next Thursday, and a public hearing that will bring in all of the public from the Big Lake area is scheduled for April 22nd, and then this will probably come up for a public vote in September. Assuming, I mean, that's the best information we have at this point in time. The petitioners would like to just speak on a number of topics, and basically for your information, give you the financial budget information, promote how the incorporation effort promotes security, how they're gonna maintain and improve roads, the impacts on fire service, the proposed boundaries for the city, how they'll relate with the borough as far as how they'll work with the borough, and then also the benefits to non-resident property owners. They'll address libraries and parks, community development, the establishment of the city government, and probably a few other topics, but they want to get that information out to you so that you have a good understanding of what we're entering into. There hasn't been a new city in the borough since the 1960s, so this is kind of a special event, something that I think we need to give them a little latitude on.
It's a little different event than from a detachment, which is what was going on when I came in. Is there do you want to speak to that motion? Sure.
So this is an assembly action that we're going to, it's going to a public vote at the next election. Is that what we're heading towards? I wonder if you might clarify. You said September. I just kind of wondering what the process is for this moving forward.
Yeah, the Local Boundary Commission comes out with their final report, and I use that word a little loosely because they've come out with a final report already. There was some revision done to that, and so now they came up with their final report. Then they'll have a public hearing of the proposed residents in the area within the boundaries of the Big Lake anticipated incorporation. They will then make their recommendation as to whether to bring that to a vote of the public. Again, that would be the residents of those people within the incorporation boundaries. And that would, the proposed time period is in September. That would probably be done by mail. So the reason why I'm asking you to dedicate some time to this issue is because the residents of Big Lake do feel that it's important that the Borough Assembly make a statement of support for them in their effort. So I will bring a resolution at some point in time in the future in support of Big Lake Incorporation.
So far, we have certainly supported the process, and you're talking about a step beyond that, I guess.
This is the details, the real kind of get in the mud stuff.
Okay, well, we'll get educated. Is there any objection to this meeting? It's be prior to our regular meeting.
So, that's a regular meeting night?
Mm-hmm. Is that
the question? And what was the date of that again?
17th of March.
And so our meeting's at 6 p.m., so they'd mm-hmm. be at here at 5:30? 4:30.
4:30?
Mm-hmm. I'll move to amend that to 5:30.
We need more time than that, Mr. Halter. Okay. So there's a motion to 5:30. Does anybody object to that? Well, let's just vote. Let's not argue all night.
There's an amendment on the floor, but I had a question for Mr. Mayfield.
Is it relative to the amendment?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Regarding procedure, and although it hasn't happened since 1960, I don't know. I mean, that's a local decision, right? That's what I'm grappling with is what influence or what would we want to weigh in? Should we weigh in? Is it our business to weigh in? That's what I'm asking about, and I don't know that it's yes to any of those.
And that's not what's going to happen on the 17th. We're just getting oriented, if I understand it. We're not going to be asked to act on a resolution that night.
Okay.
Assemblymember Halter. Okay, Assemblymember Beck.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it is in our best interest to know where they're at, and so this doesn't kind of. I just think it's good for us to be informed, and I don't know that 30 minutes would be long enough to get the information that he's talking about. I'm expecting some presentations and some material that's going to be before us that actually gives us a pretty good view of what's coming down the pipeline.
Speaking in opposition to the amendment, are we ready to vote on the amendment, which would move it to 5:30? Please put it on the board.
There we go. Mr. Mayor, it failed its assembly halter in support.
I think you're. Is there any objection to 4:30? Special meeting. I hear no objection. So, Madam Clerk, you can put that on the calendar.
I will. And if I could add to Assemblymember Beck asked if we were going to have the 3:20 or 2:21 meeting broadcast. We will not be, however, we will be recording it, so if somebody ever wants to listen to it, we will have that.
Thank you.
And Assemblymember Sykes.
Assemblymember Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I had a question for the clerk, or perhaps the assistant manager. My understanding is our priority setting session will be moderated.
We will have a facilitator there. It's Karen Kirk. She's facilitated these in the past for the assembly.
Thank you.
Is that it, Madam Clerk?
That is it.
Okay. Moving on to citizen and other correspondence. Again, for new assembly people, this is your opportunity to comment or ask questions. So we move on to the IM. Madam Clerk.
IM number 15009, reporting of conclusion of contract for bid number 13100C to Collins Construction Incorporated for Valley Pathway School Construction, project number 40188 for the final contract amount of $16,124,150.
Okay. That's not an action item, it's just information. That's a lot of money for just information, though. Yeah, it's a lot of money for just being final. Is that, Mr. Assistant Manager, I'm assuming that's probably a large sum that was just part of the contract that got finished. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Thank you. So, our first public hearing is 15022. Madam Clerk.
Mr. Mayor, can I talk about pathways just for a second to make a point of clarification for the members? It would be a very brief statement.
You may.
So, in the packet, when it talks about the change orders, it mentioned 8, as I recall. This particular procurement rolled out in a unique manner. And I'm not sure that those, I guess just for future clarification, it's important to distinguish that that procurement, those are not technically like out of scope change orders. They're evolution of the contract, which is an important distinction as over time you'll have other things come in front of the body where they are either challenged or out of scope changes that the contractor feels they're due for something that changed, some change site condition. But that wasn't the case in this, for maybe not all of them, but it was the way the procurement rolled out. I think that's a fair statement. And so in that context, it's important to distinguish the way the borough accounts, they call all of those different things change orders because they fundamentally change the contract, but it's not necessarily in a dispute with the contractor. We've had discussions about that in the past, and I think it's just important to note that. Thanks. And I'm not up to speed on this particular, but I know the way that that contract rolled out, it wouldn't suggest that all 8 of those are for challenged out of scope issues.
Oh, nor that it was just changed in order to spend a bunch of money.
Right.
Hopefully. Okay, Madam Clerk.
Ordinance Serial Number 15022, an ordinance accepting and appropriating the fiscal year 2015 Community Revenue Sharing Program funds in the amount of $424,200 to Fund 475, Project 47033, with accompanying resolution 1510, a resolution approving the scope of work and budget for fiscal year 2015, Community Revenue Sharing Program, Project Number 47033.
Thank you. This is a public hearing, and nobody signed up, so anybody that wishes to speak to this specifically is invited to come forward. I see nobody coming forward, so we will put this on the table. And I will say that I've been to 3 community council meetings recently, and they're all kind of seeing this as money that's probably not going to necessarily be a part of their future. But we do have a lot a lot of them are still spending money that that's due them from back in 2011. So, Mr. Deputy Mayor, would you put this on the table, please?
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt ordinance serial number 15-022 and resolution serial number 15-010.
Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, it passes. This brings us to the moment in time when the audience may speak to us about anything that's on their minds for 3 minutes. Here comes the sign-in sheet. First on our list is a surprise contestant named Helen Minos.
My name is Helen Minos, Mr. Mayor and Deputy Mayor in Borough Assembly. I'm here with the sole purpose tonight of welcoming Dr. Barbara Doty. And it's nice to see a female face in our Borough Assembly. I've been only coming here for about 42 years, and we don't see too many ladies on the Borough Assembly. So I think it's a little bit past due. And welcome. You'll be a wonderful addition, I'm quite sure. But they're all good on here. They're sick of seeing me, though. But I did pick up, I was just going, and I said I wouldn't mention anything, but there's something coming up a little further down the line that has to do with why I'm here every 2 weeks. And I hope I live long enough to see the fruition of what I'm after. Not I'm after, it's for the next generation and for development in this valley, infrastructure. So Dr. Doty, you'll have a grand time. And I'll be back, God willing. And everybody have a good evening. Thank you.
Thank you. You're not gonna share your acrostic for the new septage plant? Please don't. And next we have Eugene Haberman.
My name is Eugene Haberman. I represent myself and live in the Matanuska Valley for a number of years. At 2:58 a.m. this Alaska time, I sent out a report to four mayors, three cities, Borough Assembly, three cities, Palmer, Wasilla, and Houston, just for a show of hands, how many had a chance to read it? That's all I'm asking. No one? Oh, okay. Thank you. And did you? Okay. Thank you for answering. As you know, there's a totally different report here on the website. You heard just previously the IT saying, you know, their situation, and my report shows a completely different scenario. How can there be two different things? I remember the little slogan or whatever is the Emperor's not wearing clothes, and people don't believe it. I mean, he's, you know, so forth. The fact is, this website, as I said in my report, they need to do a kill switch and bring back the old website. As was noted, 20,000 pages. They're going to decide which ones, but you do all that and have the website done, and then you turn it on, you check and recheck before you turn it on. But that's not the case. Assembly Member Barbara Doty, I hope I said your name correctly, her name was not even on the website. And with an email, fortunately, as I said in my report, you know, I was able to figure out what the email address is, and from my papers, because I attend your meetings, sometimes the only one here, and this is an example, and I was able to pull the records and get it to you with the rest. Transportation Advisory Board met today. Now, 9 o'clock, as I know it to you before, there's no packets or whatever were in my report that show the meeting. But the fact is, at 9 a.m. in the morning, Debbie Passmore sent an email out to the and provided a packet information for the meeting. but it's to a special few, not the public. Where's the public engagement before these advisory boards make decisions? Mr. Mayfield, as you saw, reading my, hope you saw the attachment where it said Big Lake Community Council, only Big Lake Community Council there. How is the public supposed to connect with Big Lake Community Council? Port Commission, only a couple words there, Port Commission. How is the public supposed to connect with the Port Commission? Planning Commission. This goes on and on and on. The fact is, this has got to be a kill switch on and bring back the oath. The oath side wasn't great, but what we have is a disaster, and it's only getting worse. And I sent this report out to, as you saw, my time is up 3 seconds, but thank you. Any questions or comments, because you gave the time to the IT? You don't have any questions or comments?
We'll make a point to not have any questions.
That's it, right?
Is there anybody else that wishes to speak? Thank you. This brings us to our consent agenda. And are there any intentions, Assemblymember Sykes?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to pull Resolution 1A, 1B, and 1C. Those are 1511, 1512, and 1513.
I don't think you can do that. Anything else? I would just, for our new assembly member, we've had requests from the cities that when we're going to pull things from the consent agenda, that we mention it up when we're setting the agenda so they know whether it's issues they want to hang around for or not. So let's try to remember that. Is there anything else? Hearing none, Madam Clerk, would you read the remainder of the consent agenda?
Resolution serial number 15014, a resolution approving the amended scope of work for project number 47517, purchase VersaLift bed, project number 47500, purchase vehicle hoist, and project number 30092, purchase backhoe operation and maintenance shop lights, traffic safety equipment, 6-inch diesel pump, 4-inch gas pump, to include the purchase of a Stellar shuttle hitch and accessories for the steam thaw unit, project number 30092, resolution 15015, a resolution amending the scope of work for fiscal year 2014, capital projects for the land for septage facility, project number 25013, to add engineering design and financial feasibility studies for the septage and leachate facility.
Thank you. I was amazed that you were able to speed right through Stellar shuttle hitch. Mr. Deputy Mayor, do you want to?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I move the consent agenda as read into the record by the clerk. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any objection? Hearing none, we move now to Resolution 15011.
Resolution establishing fees for applications under MSB 1767 tall structures.
Assemblymember Sykes, would you move that, please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move resolution serial number 15011. I'd like to just briefly speak to it. When I got to what the fees were, I thought they were pretty lowball for what might be required. Network improvement permit, well, as long as it's not too complex, the site's already known and most everything else is. But for an administrative permit or a conditional use permit, they could require some staff time. So I asked for an estimate of what your sort of standard conditional use permit requires and came up with almost $3,900. That's staff time, going to meetings, preparing documents, reviewing documents. And so I think that we should try to recover some of these things. But at the same time, as part of that research, I found out that we lowball most of our fees. And so I think we should take a look at all the fees. I'm not going to oppose the resolution as read, but I think that it's something we need to look at. A CUP in Anchorage is anywhere from $1,750 to $15,000. We don't have the kind of zoning they do, but I think that we may not be recovering the fees commensurate with what we need to provide adequate service as a borough. And so it's a comment that I just wanted to speak to it, and I will support the resolution.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, that passes. Resolution 15012, Madam Clerk.
A resolution establishing fees for applications under MSB 1706, Electrical Generating and Delivery Facility.
Assemblymember Arvin.
I
know the clerk reminded me we passed a rule that it goes back to whoever's in the margin.
Mr. Mayor, I move resolution serial number 15-012.
Assemblymember Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Same sort of concern on this one. The previous law that we got rid of had a $1,000 minimum application fee and a cap on it of $500,000. Now, we have substantially changed the process to be more simple and more streamlined, so I don't think that the cap of $500,000 is appropriate. Yet, at the same time, I can also see where there could be complications where a third party might need to be hired to assist the borough. So I'm proposing an amendment, which the clerk will pass out, that simply adds language after it says conditional use permit for electrical $500, electrical generating facility $500, and add the language, if the permit processing needs a third party consultant, the applicant may be required to reimburse the firm for the fees. Prior to hiring a consultant, an estimated cost will be obtained and provided to the applicant, who may then agree to repaying the cost or withdrawing the permit with full refund. So I'm trying to keep it both flexible and user-friendly. Hopefully everything can be done in-house, but sometimes these things do get more complex, and I think that we should make provisions to recover some of those fees.
Okay. They're only as complex as we make them in the regulation process. So there's a motion on the floor. You have the language. Is there a discussion? Assemblymember Arvin.
Yeah. Thank you. Prior to hiring a consultant, an estimated cost will be obtained and provided to the applicant. So the borough's going to generate the cost estimate?
Through the mayor, Mr. Arvin, the intent is to, if a third party is needed, they will ask for an estimate from the third party about what they think an estimate is going to cost, and then that will be provided to the applicant so that it's not an open-ended thing and everybody has a common understanding of what it might take.
Assemblymember Colligan.
Yeah, so in the process, what happens when the applicant doesn't agree that the borough wants a gold-plated bridge or item B and it requires something far less, what's the disposition for the applicant if they don't agree with the borough in an estimate? That could be my question.
Through the mayor, Assemblymember Colligan, if there is, it's kind of like any other negotiation that if the applicant thinks the fee is something they don't want to pay, and they can resolve it without hiring the third-party attorney and the borough agrees to it, that's okay. But if the borough says, no, we really have to have the third party, and you know, if it costs less, you won't have to pay the whole amount, but that's the best estimate we've got, then they are they either have to pay the fee or withdraw the application.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yeah, so I'm generally not opposed to your amendment, but I think it needs a little bit more wording in here. And I would suggest something that is oftentimes used with respect to arbitration, where the two parties mutually agree on the third party. that's typical language that's in pretty much every contract. And so if there's that mechanism, I think it might settle the wild swings of, you know, picking the ivory tower consultant versus the non-ivory tower consultant to arrive at the same, to arrive at a conclusion. If, I don't know, maybe the attorney could come up with some language about that. It's pretty generic language.
Assemblymember Sykes, do you want to?
I have no objection. I think that Assemblymember Arvin's concept is a good one. I would be happy to incorporate that.
So Assemblymember Spropolis. Okay. Assemblymember Halter, did you have some language to suggest? Or?
You know, we're setting a fee for filing a conditional use permit, $500, and Mrs. Strawn's advised me that that's the general fee for all conditional use permits, is my understanding. Now if somebody doing electrical generation, the applicant wants to use a third party to make their, bolster their argument to the Planning Commission that's hearing this, that'd be fine with me, but I don't see why we have to worry about it. I mean, really, the Planning Commission, I don't know if they have the authority to require that or not, but we ought to just set the CUP fee now, and if they want to use a third party, they may very well do that.
Yeah, so but doing it this way, we give all that discretion to the administration, which may or may not be messy. Assemblymember Sykes.
Through the mayor, to Assemblymember Halter, this isn't for if the applicant wants to use a third party consultant to help them through the Planning Commission, that's their business. They can provide that out of their own pocket. What this is addressing is if the staff feels that it needs outside expertise beyond what we have in-house and they want to hire a consultant, then they feel a need to do that. I don't think it'll happen very often, but I think that those circumstances should require the payment of the third-party consultant, which we want to have through two or three quotes, and the applicant can choose, then that's fine. But it's for the benefit of the borough, not for the benefit of the applicant, because we want to be able to process an application fairly, and if we don't have the expertise, then that's what the borough would be after.
Mr. Spropolis, did you have language to suggest? Because we've got a kind of a pending amendment in the works here.
I did. I just handed it to Mr. Sykes.
Okay.
For some background, as this discussion was happening, I remember back to the original power plant ordinance. This language came out of, we modeled it after what the Surface Transportation Board does when you need to build a rail line. The borough was told which consultant to go hire, and we paid the bill, and they did all the work directly for the STB. We didn't get to interact with them. And that's where that language and the underlying old AMSB 8.32 came from. So this amendment is kind of close to that if it meets with Assemblymember Sykes' approval.
The language looks pretty good. I'll read the amendment in its entirety with the attorney's suggestions. So nothing gets changed until near the end of the third line. If the permit processing needs a third-party consultant, the applicant may be required to reimburse the borough for fees. Prior to hiring a consultant, an estimated cost will be obtained from three potential consultants and provided to the applicant, who may then select which consultant to use and agree to repaying the cost, or the applicant may withdraw the permit with full refund. So I just reworded the last sentence a little.
Okay, on the amendment, Assemblymember Arvin.
I think this is to the amendment. And so there was a fairly contentious CUP exercise that was gone through just recently regarding a monofill. My question would be to staff, did the borough engage outside advice on that topic? And how was reimbursement for those costs if it did recouped? Or was it even, did you have to go outside, Alex?
Mr. Strawn.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So we did hire a consultant to review the hydrology that was submitted to us as part of the conditional use permit application, and we just took it out of our budget. We did not get compensated for it.
How much?
Yeah. Oh. It was under $5,000, I believe. I think somewhere between $3,000 and $5,000.
If I could still have the floor.
Go ahead.
Thank you for that. And I'm not sure what kind of connectivity there was there, but that seemed to be fairly contentious, a lot of science, and it wouldn't be unrealistic to presume that you went for outside advice on that. This amendment, I think, gives some certainty to an applicant. I generally am opposed to it, but I think it's important to protect the pocketbook of the borough if it's going to arrive at $5,000 in cost or $500,000 in cost on a project that would be in the hundreds of millions of dollars, probably not, doesn't really bubble to the top of cost impact to the project, right? So it's in that regard that I support, and I'm fine with that language, but I think we are getting in the weeds here a little bit. But I think this is probably one of those examples that it's appropriate to do so because it gives a roadmap and certainty to the applicant, which is, I think, important. So, thanks.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yeah, I'm just generally opposed to the idea for the statement that it's for the benefit of the borough, not the applicant, and the applicant is required to pony up their own money for their own benefit as well. And in this case, we're talking about large infrastructure. We're going to tax the crap out of and have revenue off of for a long, long time as well. So where's the line? And I think it's fine the way it is without the amendment, and I'm going to support that. I'm going to not support it. Thank you.
Okay. We're ready for the question. So put it on the board. There is objection.
We're on the secondary amendment.
On the secondary amendment. Mr. Spropoulos's language.
Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Culligan opposed.
Okay, on the primary amendment now. Is there objection? Okay, still objection. So put it on the board for the primary amendment as amended.
Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Mayfield and Culligan opposed.
Okay, now for the resolution as amended. Is there objection?
Yes.
Put it on the board.
Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Culligan opposed.
Okay. That concludes our consent agenda. Do we want to take, what's that? What we do? Oh, okay. Sorry.
Resolution Serial Number 15013, a resolution supporting the reinstatement of a full $60 million into the revenue sharing fund on a yearly basis with a one-year appropriation of $8 million to the fund with an effective date of July 1st, 2015.
Sorry, I just turned this off. Assemblymember Arvin. Well, you're the one that's listed.
It changes. I'm sorry, I lost track on that. I move resolution serial number 15013 and yield to Mr. Sykes.
There we go. Assemblymember Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and Assemblymember Arvin. I'm going to support the resolution, but at the same time, the governor has put $57 million in his budget and not $60 million. I mean, we could ask for $70 million or $80 million or any other other figure that we would want to come to mind. It's just a resolution. But I think that the governor has some pretty sharp staff, and he probably can, they can probably figure out that we've actually cut off maybe $7 million worth of income revenue to the borough voluntarily through either a vote or by assembly action. And it sort of makes it look like everybody else is sacrificing, but we're hanging out here asking for more. So I would just urge caution on the $60 million figure. It's reasonable. I hope we get it. But at the same time, I think that we're not exercising full fiscal responsibility here. So that's my comment.
Okay. Assemblymember Arvin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I'm going to, as this is now pulled, I really wasn't going to weigh in on it, but I'm going to vote against it. We have a lot of asks and a lot of things that we're sending to Juno that are critical, and revenue sharing, I think, is one of them. It's in the governor's budget, as you mentioned. It's probably an issue that is going to, a number that's going to change from 57 million maybe to zero. And I just don't think amongst the other many things that we're asking for that this should be on the list. So.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, there is objection, so put it on the board. We're voting on 60 million.
Mr. Mayor, it failed with Assemblymember Mayfield and Halter in support.
Okay, well, I'm glad I'm not in Juneau right now, because last year I was the go-to man for hustling up the revenue sharing money, and I had already promised our delegation that I wasn't going to be hounding them on that, and I guess for sure I'm not going to be now, because I got the question, so do you want your rail money or do you want your revenue sharing? Well, obviously, apples and oranges as far as dollars, but if I got a choice, I'll take our rail. So do we want to take a break or go ahead and finish the meeting?
I think we can finish this meeting.
Okay, let's, normally we quit around 7 for 5 or 10 minutes, but we're pretty close. So, Madam Clerk, the introductions, please.
Introduction for public hearing on March 3rd, Ordinance 15026 with accompanying Resolution 15016, Ordinance 15027, Ordinance 15028 with accompanying Resolution 15017, Ordinance 15029, and Ordinance 15030.
Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to introduce the legislation as read into the record by the clerk and set the public hearing for March 3rd. 2015.
Thank you. Is there objection? Hearing none, that will be our business for March 3rd, and that brings us to the vacancy report.
Mr. Mayor, I move to confirm your recommendations up for confirmation as follows. Board of Equalization, resignation of Tate Zimmerman, Local Emergency Planning Committee, Amy Kearns.
Thank you. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, that passes. We have no other new business, no referrals, no reconsideration. That brings us to staff comments. Mr. Assistant Manager.
Just one item, Mr. Mayor. The staff welcomes and looks forward to working with Assemblymember Doty. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Madam Clerk.
And again, welcome to Assemblymember Doty. I'll repeat what Mr. Hayes said. And also, if you haven't noticed tonight, you can actually hear the audio through your mic on your speakers. Thanks to Brenda, she had to do the research, and we had them come out and change our software program.
Actually, you can hear it better when your button is off.
Yes, that is true. You can hear it a lot better when your button's off.
Yeah.
Mr. Attorney.
Next meeting, the manager and I will be in Washington, D.C. Just want to let you know, Mr. Ashenbrenner will be here. George, I'm sure, will be here again.
Okay. And we'll, in our assembly comments, if we want to weigh in on the issues on the marijuana legislation, feel free to do that. So we'll start with Assemblymember Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to welcome Assemblymember Doty to this table and look forward to working with her as well as all of the other assembly members over the next year. Congratulations, and look forward to working with you. I would like to ask the attorney to read the definition one more time. Where I'm going with this is there has been talk about if you want to get, you know, untreated goat's cheese or whatever, you can rent a goat with some other people and, you know, maybe 20 people are in on the goat's cheese or whatever. And so I think that trying to define it very narrowly is probably not that helpful. And if the state wants to come up with a definition, we'll go along with it. But I don't know why a person can't help multiple people with either the growing or transporting or the sale of any commodity, including marijuana. So that's, I'd be interested in others' feelings on it, but can you read the definition again? Because it just seems like the end of the definition could just be dropped, as somebody mentioned earlier.
Acting without benefit on behalf of no more than one other person as authorized in writing signed by that person.
Okay, well, I guess I would just, my comment would be that it shouldn't be limited to one person, and I don't know if it should be unlimited, but it just seems like it would be a nightmare to enforce. So I just don't see how it can work. Thank you. Thank you for a good short meeting.
Assemblymember Mayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Likewise, I feel like that the definition there would be unenforceable. I just don't see how our patrol officers would work with that. I did want to mention thank Director Brodigan, who's no longer here, unfortunately, for the presentation on the ISO piece, as well as recognizing the Westlake's FSA. Chief Gamble, in particular, has been a superlative employee of the borough and has really demonstrated effective leadership of that group. He is very deserving of borough recognition to the highest degree, and I would certainly encourage staff to look into that further to recognize his accomplishments and his leadership of that group. It wasn't just a one-man effort. He has a very effective team also, but he has pulled that team together and has really driven the ISO down. Being a former insurance manager, specifically in the fire field and the catastrophe field, I know how important it is to drive that ISO downward. When in 1996, when we had the Millers Reach fire, Big Lake was actually an ISO 10 at that point. And you know, I was the catastrophe manager handling that event. So I'm just very, very pleased to see the inroads that that department has made and reducing the insurance cost for all of the citizens of that FSA serves. So again, it's a true success story. And I think we really need to recognize Chief Gamble and his team for their efforts there. With that, I'll again, I'd like to say welcome to Dr. Doty. I'm sure your leadership, will be fantastic. I appreciate you very much. With that, I'll say good night. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Assemblymember Halter.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Brown. The Meadow Lakes Community Council voted unanimously on your route selection for the Selden Road Phase 2. It was one of the biggest crowds I've ever seen at the Meadow Lakes Community Council. They were kind of at each other's throats on another issue, so they came together and voted on this 100%, so I was pretty proud of them. So you'll see your resolution coming down the pike. I would love to learn more about the Big Lake Incorporation, but I do not personally want to see the Assembly take a position on whether you should incorporate or not incorporate. I hope that's not the direction we're going. And get a little information on it, that's fine, because I'm getting calls both ways on that one. So I'd like to stay out of that from an Assembly standpoint. I don't like the definition of assist, period, the way it's written right now. It is totally unenforceable. And it's have something like that in writing is to the point of being ridiculous. So thank you.
Okay, Assemblymember Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Welcome to Assemblymember Doty. We're excited to have you on board and look forward to working with you. And I have no comment on regards to the definition, Mr. Attorney. I find the whole thing a little bit ludicrous. This last weekend, I had the opportunity to travel with several athletes from our borough down to Juneau for the Alaska Age Group Championships. There were over 300 athletes from throughout South Alaska and Southeast Alaska at this swim meet, and all of them had family there in Juneau, and the total spent, just, I'm not good at math, but it had to be somewhere around $750,000 of people renting vehicles, sightseeing, renting hotel rooms, use of the space there. It was a three-day event, swimming event, and it's something that we couldn't even begin to host here in the borough because we don't have the facility to have something like this. Swimming is a huge thing for Alaskans. It was just an incredible event. I was proud of our athletes from the borough and the way they represented our communities here. But just to point out, I just think that this is something we ought to be looking at. We should have a facility that we can't even have a state swim meet here, state champion swim meet, because we don't have the facility. And look at all of our athletes that are swimmers. And I just think it's something that worth looking at as we look ahead to our future. Thanks.
Assemblymember Colligan.
Yeah, just a few brief comments. I find it ironic here to sit and kind of all the new math and all this, and now we have drug dealer math and drug dealer word problems to go through. It's kind of interesting, but tough situation. I just not real supportive of some of the language, but I voted tonight against this definition of the electric stuff, because I don't think we apply that to other things that the borough does, and the borough has staff that we supply support and opinion on. I asked, what are we doing as far as leases and other expertise at our port facility, et cetera? We need people on our side to help negotiate a lease. We don't have the expertise. Are we billing those other leasees for our lack of knowledge and expertise, or are we doing it because we plan on getting our fair share of their revenue downstream, et cetera? And it's an odd one for me. I was also in Juneau last week on my own, not on borough business, although I did have some discussions about borough items while down there. And it's a tough, interesting situation, to explain it mildly. I think we have every capacity to throw our communities into an economic crisis if we so choose, rather than trying to figure out how to take an even hand and really think about things, what our priorities are. And right now, everybody's on their soapbox talking at each other, and it's kind of interesting. But I hope at the end of the day, and as we go through our weekend discussions, that we kind of come together with an even hand and really think about the next several years, not just next month. And I truly believe that Alaska has a bright future. I truly believe that oil prices will return, and we need some kind of an incremental approach to that recovery, not a drastic, or we have every possibility to create our own economic crisis. And I hope that we come together and support that. So not that I'm against spending, and I think we're going to need to do some cuts, but some of the soapbox discussion of who's the most righteous, are also people that are heavily retired and don't have anything at risk either. It's kind of interesting. Thanks.
Probably drawing on PERS and TERS. So, welcome, Assemblymember Doty, your first speech.
Thank you, Mayor DeVelpus, and Assembly members. Thank you for the warm welcome. I'm very pleased to be here and happy to represent District 6. I've had a great welcome from the staff that have been helpful and educational. I spent most of the day today here at the Borough Building. I had the chance to meet the Transportation Advisory Committee planning meeting that they had this afternoon, and that was quite helpful, I think, for our events coming up on Saturday with planning. I was happy to hear the presentation on the ISO ratings. Raised the question in my mind what the rest of the fire service agency ISO ratings are and how can we help all sites to achieve that same rating. And so I'll look forward to hearing some more about that. I was also just pleased at the efficiency in the well-run meeting today, and I appreciate everybody's timeliness because I think well-run meetings represents our community well. As to the marijuana question, I have one comment, and that is I deliver babies, and adults have babies. Actually, usually there's a male and a female involved in having those babies, but if you look at the cigarette warnings, it says a warning to women of childbearing age, and so as we move forward with this legislature, I ask you to be attentive to those concerns. Unfortunately, our national research resources did not address the consequences for the fetus of marijuana in the last 20 years. That was suspended. There's not good literature on it. We make assumptions, but we don't have good literature or good research data. So I just point that out. And thank you very much for the warm welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Regarding your question, Mr. Spropoulos, I too don't have an opinion. I don't know what it means. I don't know. When you first read it, my reaction was that it had to do with, my first image in my mind was gardening, that somebody would help somebody learn how to grow it, not all the other stuff that comes along with it. And it's in that context, I mean, I can grow carrots, I can grow potatoes. It's putting a seed in the ground. I don't know that marijuana is that much more complicated. So I guess it's the other things that really are complicated, right? But I don't have an opinion. So I couldn't give you any advice on that. And then to change topics, I think I read an email or an article, and I thought it was you, Mr. Mayor, that or somebody was speaking to, that we ought to be concerned about the state pulling back school construction funding reimbursement. And I'm wondering, is that legitimately possible given state statute? And can I get a little bit more information on that? Because that's fairly frightening. I mean, it's state statute when you apply, right? They approve it. We haven't sold all the bonds yet. But presumably once the bonds are sold, wouldn't the state be locked in?
Our bond language holds us to that, whether we're reimbursed or not. Is that not right, Mr. Spropoulos?
All money in the state of Alaska is subject to appropriation by the legislature. If the legislature runs out of money and has to decide what to fund, then they have to decide what to fund. So the state statute talks about how you apply for and how you get approved for the debt reimbursement program. That then goes into the pool, and I don't know if it's governor's office, the community economic development or education probably, you know, comes up with a number every year and tells the legislature, this is the bond match for all of the various bonds statewide that municipalities have floated, whether they're a 60 or 70% reimbursement, you know, depending on the program and the year and everything. If the state legislature does not appropriate that money, then we have to, the borough would have to pick up the difference.
So and our
it is a legal possibility. The political probability is something that, that is well beyond me, but it is certainly a legal possibility, just like if the legislature refused to fund a judgment against the state, refused to fund a pension, refused to fund anything. The court system doesn't have the power to tell the legislature. They could say, okay, pay that. But if they don't, it's a constitutional problem because you can't force the legislature to appropriate.
Assemblymember Arden.
So in that context, I appreciate that information. I would like a report on where we are in the process, how many bonds have been sold, how much have been reimbursed by the state for the projects that are done, and what potential liability might be out there for projects that haven't been sold yet.
It would be most of that last $214 million, because we finished Pathways and the day school. That's the only two that are done, and I'll bet those have not gone through the reimbursement process yet.
So maybe we should take a look at that.
Yeah.
Okay, so thanks for that kind of heads up on that. I wouldn't have ever imagined that that was possible.
If you read the language that goes to the voters, it's pretty clear that we could have to pay for it all.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then I too would like to welcome you to the table, Assemblymember Doty, and look forward to working with you. And you know, it's interesting, I might add, so my district is like the core of the core area, built out, most of the roads are paved, property issues are fairly resolved, there's not, and I say all that to say this, that I don't get a lot of constituent interaction with phone messages or emails, because there's not a lot of anxiety in that particular district for the things I mentioned. But my phone answering machine for that I've got tagged for constituents to reach me, I got several messages thanking me for supporting your appointment. So there's a lot of people in the community that that too are happy that you are seated here. So welcome.
Yes, and constituent Minot's mentioned that this has always been a male body assembly for the most part, but actually it's not all that long ago that I believe the majority was the other way around. There were four ladies sitting at this table, so it does have precedence, and we look forward to working with the gentler species. So I'm glad that I'm not in Juneau this week. I kind of elected to do that primarily over this municipal revenue sharing issue, and I thank you for taking that off our shoulders. Kind of surprising. I didn't expect that. But as you know, this is AML week, the fly-in down in Juneau, but I decided to give all the priority to getting our marijuana advisory committee together. So my head's been spinning from about a dozen interviews today, and then Thursday I'll finish that up. But I would like to weigh in that issue of assistance. If you've studied or followed the situation in Colorado, There's reason for working on that. One of the big areas of abuse is you have a what is really a commercial operation going on by a person running around and talks people into putting six plants in their basement, and so he's assisting in a daisy chain operation, and there's nothing they can do about it because this guy's coming in to assist. Well, he's actually doing the whole thing. It is an area of abuse that does need to be addressed here, so I think that language is necessary myself, and if you want, we can bring it back as another resolution. It also starts dipping into the potential issue of the condo greenhouse. As you know, we've got condo cows here, and that's a concept we probably should face, because I can see the very real possibility of that. I haven't heard of that in Colorado, but they may not have condo cows there. So there is an issue that I was asked to weigh in on, and it's a legislation that's been put forward to put a ban on statewide on smoking in public places. I have not elected to do that. Our cities have the freedom to do that, and establishments have the freedom to do that, but I've never wanted to get the assembly involved in that, and I don't personally want to support it on a statewide basis. But we've been asked about it, so if any of you want to do a resolution or something, you can be free to do that. I think also the issue of letting the state run over us on regulating the manner of regulating marijuana should not go unaddressed. I think we should have the full flexibility of whether we want to allow or disallow medical or recreational commercial production. As much flexibility as we have, I'd like to see. So that's where I am on that. I also think and support the concept of the villages having the power that municipalities were given on ballot measure 2, because the villages were left out of that. They do not have the ability to say no. It only mentioned municipalities, and I think that is being addressed by legislation. So that's pretty much it for my comments. Appreciate everybody working together with us, and if there's no objection, we will adjourn. Assemblymember Sykes.
Just a point of clarification. So if you've been asked about whether or not to express your opinion, and you think maybe we could bring a resolution, you're not commenting on it? Is that at the time?
I'm not getting into it at all.
Okay. And okay, I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
If there's no objection, we will adjourn.